Good morning. You're going to have to bear with me a little bit of voice. My voice is a bit hoarse, so if I like run out of steam and have to have some water, I'm really sorry. Otherwise, I'll be like, hello, can you hear me? So, morning, it's really great to be able to speak to you today. I have to say, when Andy phoned, he left a voicemail on my aunt's machine and asked me if I would speak on Mother's Day. And at first I thought, I think he's probably got the wrong number. I don't think he got the memo that I'm not a mum. And I was pretty sure they'd made a mistake. And then I was pretty sure that I was going to say no, for various reasons, really. Actually, my better judgment kicked in. And rather than just calling him back and saying thanks, but no thanks, I decided to sit it out and just see whether God gave me a sense of what I might share with you this morning. And actually, God's really good. And quite soon after this, a verse came to my mind that has been an encouragement to me over the years. And it's one that I thought would be a good one to share with you today. So it's from Psalm 68, verses 5-6. And it says, "A father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families." And from this verse, I guess I'd like to talk to you about three kind of key things, really. Firstly, that God is the creator of families. Secondly, that God is the one that brings comfort in care in the brokenness of family. And then thirdly, that God is the one that gives the lonely somewhere to belong. I think, probably like me, you've really enjoyed this morning celebrating with the families of Grace and Ava. It's been amazing, hasn't it, to kind of see those families come together and be family with us here. And what we've celebrated today is marking that, like Alice has shared, that Grace and Ava are a gift, aren't they? They're a gift from God to their families and to us as a church. But we believe here at Life Church that, just as Alistair said, that God has entrusted them to the care of their families. But first and foremost, they're God's. It says in the Bible that God knows you inside and out. He knows every bone in our bodies. He knows exactly how we were made, bit by bit, how we were sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, he watched us grow from conception to birth. All the stages of our lives were spread out before him, the days of our lives all prepared before we'd even lived one day. And those words are part of a poem that's found in the book of Psalms in the Bible, and they paint a picture for us, don't they, of the closeness of God to us since before we were even born. As we were formed in our mother's womb, God knew us. And it's amazing, isn't it, that God, the creator of the universe, knows about us. He knows about Ava, and he knows about Grace, and he knows about you and about me. And for me, that is overwhelming, that this God is so big, but knows me in my individual situation. And you know, God created us in his image. When we look back to the beginning of the Bible, where it talks about God creating the universe, it says that he made us in his image. And part of God's character is that he's relational. He's not a distant God that kind of holds us at arm's length and blows hot and cold with us, but he's a relational God. And he designed us to live relationally too. And family is one of the building blocks of this, I believe. So we know that family is important, and it can be a source of great joy, can't it? I know I'm one of five children, and when we all get together, it is like a bit like carnage, because there's so many like nieces and nephews and in-laws and things like that. But it's a joyful time, generally speaking. Generally speaking, it's probably I'm sure you can all relate to that in one way or another. But it is also true that in the midst of all of those joys, that family can be a source of hurt and pain. And Andy alluded to this before, didn't he? And I'm conscious that today won't be an easy day for lots of us. There may be people here that are struggling with bereavement or broken relationship with family, or struggling in the midst of childlessness. And I'm not going to pretend that there's easy answers to those things, because there aren't. But one of the things that that we can hold on to is that when we look in the Bible, since the beginning of time, God has promised to be close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And in fact, that verse that I shared at the beginning, it talked about God being a father to the fatherless and a defender of the widows. And in the midst of the storms of life, which no doubt all of us will go through at some point, we can come to God, our Father, who promises to welcome and care for us. And that is an amazing promise that he speaks over not just some of us, but all of us, whatever situation that we find ourselves in. I'm going to talk a little bit here about God being the one that gives the lonely somewhere to belong. There was a survey done in 2015, and it was done of adults in the UK, a representative sample of adults in the UK, I guess. And it found that 68% of adults living in the UK feel lonely often, always, or sometimes. And in 18 to 34-year-olds, this figure was 83%. Now, to put that in perspective, if we were the population of the UK, we're not, obviously. We're a small fraction of the population of the UK. But if we were, this section, this section, this section, and this section would pretty much all be feeling lonely, some, always, or most of the time. That's staggering, isn't it? It's quite overwhelming. It's shocking. You know, when you read that figure, for me, I'm going to say something a bit controversial here, it's kind of reassuring. And the reason I say that is because if you've ever felt lonely, and I know I have, that you're not on your own. There's a bit of an irony there, isn't there? That, like, we're all kind of going around, I'm feeling lonely, are you feeling, I'm feeling lonely, no one's letting on to it. But actually, many of us are feeling lonely in life. But there's an edge to that as well, isn't there? It's shocking that this can be the case. You could say, if you were thinking about this as an illness, you'd say it was an epidemic, wouldn't you? There'd be people with, like, those big suits, like we've seen in the news this week when they're looking at the poisoning of the Russian spy. There'd be people say, I don't want to catch that. You know, you could say it was like an epidemic. That's the extent of it in our nation. And how can it be that in a society that is so obsessed with networking and connecting with people, that so many people are lonely? I'd argue that it's partly due to that kind of individualistic culture that's bred. And I think that that's not something that is just outside of the church. I think it's something that we have to look at ourselves for as well. You know, it's become the norm in society. I was out for coffee in Sale yesterday, we were sat drinking our coffee, and I was looking around, and literally nearly every single table next to us, there was a person on their own. And I'm not saying it's wrong to go out for coffee on your own. Like, I've done that before. It's quite nice sometimes. Get the paper, you know, like, read a bit. You're waiting to meet somebody. But I was like, actually, you know, that's Saturday in Sale. Half of this coffee shop are sat on their own with their headphones in, looking at a paper, you know, on their own. And, you know, we have quite an individualistic society. And it can come in different forms, can't it? It can be something quite subtle, or it can be something quite obvious. So a more obvious factor is that more and more of us are living on our own, aren't we? We have an ageing population. Many people live away from their family. The social sort of support network that we might have had in times gone by isn't necessarily there in the way that it was. But it can also be really subtle. We can be interacting with loads and loads of people, and it can be an active thing that we choose, that we interact with lots and lots of people, but we actively choose not to do life deeply with anybody. And I'd say that's really not healthy. It's not healthy for us, because God has designed us to be relational. I think it's fair to say that most of us have experienced loneliness in one form or another, but I think it's also fair to say that most of us have probably perpetuated that in other people's lives as well. We've lived our lives in a way that aren't inclusive of other people. And I know I can hold my hands up and say that has been true in some points in my life. But the verse that I opened with said that God sets the lonely in families. You know, one of the best things about being part of God's family and following God is that he welcomes us into his family. When we come to him and we acknowledge that our lives aren't our own and that we make a mess of them, we're met with grace and with love, and we find forgiveness and restoration. There's a quote from a guy called Augustine who wrote like right back in the early days of Christian thought, and he said, "You made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it finds its place of rest in you." You know, God adopts us into his family, and it's here that we find our true sense of belonging. We can't find that anywhere else. We can look in loads of different places for that, but the only place that we will find it is in God. And I know for me, over the years, my church family have been a way of God blessing me and meeting me in my loneliness. I don't have children, like I said before, and at times when I've seen friends and family settle down, that's been really tough. But actually, you know, God has been gracious to me and I found a sense of family. I'm so grateful, and I'm looking out here and seeing loads of people that have been family to me over the years. And that's something that is so valuable. But, you know, I think we can all crave that sense of belonging and we can come to God and find it. But when we find it, he asks us to share it. He asks us to join in his work of making homes for the lonely. And this means that sometimes, to be quite honest, life will be a bit inconvenient and it will be a bit messy and it will be a bit uncomfortable, and you might have some awkward situations. You might have to have someone around for dinner that you're not really sure you're going to get on with. But actually, the rewards are great when we live in this way, because it's the way that God designed us to live. So I guess if you're here today and you've not found that sense of belonging in God, maybe you've come with someone today for the dedications, or you're just visiting because it's Mother's Day and you thought maybe I'll come to church, I'd really encourage you to seek out that place of belonging in God. Maybe speak to me afterwards or someone that you've come with, because I know that it's not a decision that you'll regret. And if you found your place of belonging in God, I guess today as a church, what I'd say is let's challenge one another to be family to those around us, to live in a way that's not convenient, to live in a way that's not always comfortable, but to live in the reward of that. Thanks for listening. I'm going to hand over to Elizabeth. Great.
Sorry. Hello. My name is Elizabeth, and I'm blessed with four wonderful children. I'm grateful for one of them is over there. I'm here to talk to you about being a mother. There is a scripture in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. It talks about fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And the one that I really want you to hold on to is the next one that says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. I have been a mother for over 23 years, and it has not been an easy journey. But it has been easy as well, because God has been in the journey with me. I have learned a lot from my children. I have learned a lot from the people of God that I've come across. I'm going to tell you a very short story of two ladies in the Bible, Naomi and Ruth. Naomi lost her husband and lost her two children. It was a very, very, very sad time. She had her two in-laws, her daughter-in-laws. Naomi, because of the vagueness and, you know, emptiness, decided, "I'll go back to my homeland." It was trouble that took them to a foreign land, and unfortunately, it is trouble that is taking her back again, and she didn't see any way forward. In fact, in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 20, she said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. As mothers, I'm sure you can testify that the journey can be very hard. And the mothers that I really want to encourage today are the ones that are going through challenges of any kind with your children, with your marriage, whatever it is. If you are in a position of Naomi, thinking that this can never be good again, I really want you to think back to that scripture where it says that, but for the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross. Now, Jesus said in the book of John chapter 10, verse 10, that the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Naomi, in her time of calamity, decided, because that was what she thought, to blame God. But thank God that we know as Christians that we have the devil that is prowling around, looking to whom to devour. But my encouragement for you today is that, would you stand and stand firmly in prayer as mothers for your children, for your home? Would you take God to his word that says, I have come to give you life and life in abundance, life to the full? Because in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5, this is one of the scriptures that carries me through. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. I want to believe that the Bible here is talking about prayer and holding on to the promises of God. There should be some kind of holy anger within you that would want to say, Lord, I do not believe this is how you want my children to be. Al said something earlier on that, not being successful or not being wealthy, and there was some kind of reaction. But I can actually relate to that, because I noticed that it's easy for our children these days to work very hard. They're very smart. They're very intelligent. My children, my two sons, oh my God, they scare me because their brain is just, you know. So the only thing that I know that I can do for them, which is going to be eternal, is to pray for them and to ask the Lord that, you know what, even if they become the wealthiest people on earth, which I'm believing God for as well, because the reason is I've come from a poverty-stricken background. And I said to the Lord one day, I said, do you know what, God? I'm not really bothered about wealth anymore. Just make me comfortable. But I really, really want you to bless my children. And I want you to bless them to the point that they will use that blessing to serve you and to serve humanity. And that is what I mean when I said I want the wealth for my children. And I'm looking forward to that day when God will do it. Amen. So my encouragement for us today is that as parents, as mothers particularly, we need to know that there is an enemy that does not want us to have joy over our children. And so many times we focus on the problem, focus on the problem, focus on the problem. Why don't you focus on that beautiful baby, on that day that you gave birth to that baby, or on that day that you were given the responsibility, probably as an adopted parent, over that baby, and you looked at that baby and you fell in love, and you would do anything. Now, whatever it is that you would do, whatever it is that you are doing, I want to encourage you today, why don't you add prayers to it? Why don't you add prayers? Why don't you take God to his word and say, Lord, children are a heritage from you, and they are a blessing. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. If mothers can endure in trusting God over their children, in focusing on the joy that is set before them. So my son finished university last year, and the first thing he said to me is, Mom, when I get a job, I'm going to be supporting your ministry. And I thought, okay, we'll wait and see. And true to his word, his first salary, he called me and he said, Mom, I've paid some money into your group's account. And I knelt down and I said, Lord, you are faithful. But for the joy that was set before Jesus. He endured the cross. If we will take the time to not give up like Naomi did, there is a joy that is set before us as parents to enjoy our children. Now, the other lady is Ruth. Ruth was in the position of somebody that somehow endured because she thought, you know what, even out of this bad, good can still come out of it. And she encouraged Naomi. Now, my question to you is, who are you encouraging? Are you a Ruth to somebody? Are you someone that sees good or just bad in a situation? Are you someone that somebody can actually come and said, oh, my son, oh, I don't know what to do. And you say, oh, you should not have, you know, start to blame, but you start to, are you somebody that would hold that person's hand like Ruth said? Do you know what? I don't care what you say. Wherever you go, I am going with you. The God you serve is the God I will serve. By the way, Ruth was a Moabite. She didn't believe in the God that the Jews served. But somehow, marrying into that family would have rubbed off on her to the point that she was willing to go any length with Naomi. Would you be a friend that would support someone in trouble? I've got 6 points that I really wanted us to think about. The first one is trusting God in our times of trial. It's not easy to trust. I have trusted and I've been let down. And there was a time when I thought as well that God was letting me down. So I had to ask him, Lord, teach me to trust you. And he started to teach me to trust him. And then he gave me that Bible verse that says, the life that you now live is not your life, but it is me, in me. So gradually I started to increase my trust in God. Faith as well is very important, because the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, if you want to please God as well, say, Lord, increase my faith. It's a lot about praying. We can't do anything of ourselves unless the Lord actually strengthens us to do it. The third thing is to pray for a godly friend. That Proverbs 18:24 talks about a friend sometimes being closer even more than a family. Pray for a godly friend that will be there for you, a friend that you can call and open up to. When I came into Life Church 2013, actually it's 5 years this month since we started coming to this church. Before I came in here, God somehow led me to the Maranatha community and I met Heather Williams. And she actually introduced me to the church. And after I've spoken to her, she spoke to Tom. And Tom decided that if you want Heather to mentor you, then I'm sure she would love to. And through that very, very difficult times, Heather was there to pray with me, to hold my hands, to encourage me. She is a lady that I would always remember what she has done in my life. So you can pray to God for a friend, a godly friend, to encourage you and to be there for you. Also, believe in restoration. Naomi never thought that anything good could happen again. But in the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, after Ruth had gotten married and given birth to a son, it wasn't just Naomi that was praising God. People came around and says to her, the woman said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Would you endure and hope in the Lord for a better tomorrow? The other thing is never to forsake the gathering of the fellowship of God's people. Life Church is a wonderful place to be. Do you know what? I had to close my eyes to some side talks. Oh, they don't greet you. They don't look at you. I said, Lord, if you've taken me here, you will establish me here. And the Lord established me here. He established my children. And the joy of the Lord has been our strength. And we've met wonderful families that has been like a tower of strength. People that you know you can count on within Life Church. Do not forsake the gathering or the fellowship of God's people. And lastly, like I've been saying, never stop praying. There is power in praying. You only need to try it. And don't give up. You may pray and you don't get an answer immediately, but never stop praying. Never stop praying. If you don't know how to pray, ask someone to help you. I didn't know how to pray, but the Lord taught me how to pray. And I started to read his word, and he will speak through to me through his word. And that is the reason I carry God's word wherever I go, because he speaks to me very powerfully through his word, and that sustains me. I didn't have a parent that was there for me, but God turned my life around, and he taught me to love my children, and they mean the whole world to me. And I pray for everyone here that for the joy of restoration, for the joy of whatever the enemy may have taken away from you, that the Lord will give you the grace to endure to the end, never to give up. Whatever you're believing God for, over your children, over your marriage, over even the community, believe that God is able. We only need to turn to him. He said, call unto me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. You only need to call him, and he will do mighty things in your life and in your family's life. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. However you're celebrating today, I pray that the joy of the Lord will fill your heart. And if you do decide there is nothing to celebrate, I pray that the Lord will bring alongside you that Ruth that would encourage you and see a better tomorrow. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name.